Just thank you. We approach this Thanksgiving time in our country. One of the unique things about our country that recognizes a day to say thank you to you. I don't think we do it enough. As we look at Thanksgiving from the Old Testament today, open our hearts, our spirits, and our minds to the expression of thanks and what it's all about. We just give you praise, Lord. You're an awesome God, and we want to worship you and love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we began this journey talking about Thanksgiving, and we spent most of last week talking about the history of Thanksgiving in this country and what it was and what it truly was, what actually happened, and who the Puritans were, why they came here, because they wanted to live biblical lives and live according to the Bible and nothing else, and the hardships they went through, and why that first Thanksgiving was so important as an expression of thanks to God. We sort of went through all of that. And what we want to do this week is we're going to do two things today and then one thing next week. We want to look at the Old Testament and the foundations of Thanksgiving in the Old Testament. And there's three different things in the Old Testament to look at. We're not going to look at one of them. One of them is there are some things written into the law about specific holidays and giving thanks to God on those holidays. Now, the reason we're not going to look at that is because I want us to be able to get this from the right motivation and from the right heart, you know. Because sometimes when you look at it here, you know, here's the Old Testament law and it says, okay, on this day you're supposed to go and give thanks. And it's sort of like going, okay, you're going to come to church tomorrow and you're going to be thankful. You know? Yeah, right. You know? I don't want us to see this as something that is legalistic. I don't want us to see that. That's not what it's about. And even in the Old Testament law, that's not what it was supposed to be about. But sometimes it almost comes across that way, you know. What was that old, it makes me think of walking around Disneyland and we're walking around the Pirates of the Caribbean. And I know I've seen this other places, but they have T-shirts and hats that say, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. You know, we don't want to get caught up in that kind of thankfulness. So we're not going to look at the legal side of it. We're going to look at a couple other things. You had to think that one out, huh, right? We're going to look at a couple other things. We're going to look at some basic passages from Psalms, and I'm just going to go through a bunch of passages in Psalms because Psalms are very personal and draw some conclusions from that. And then we're going to look at something that happened in the Old Testament that is probably one of the closest things we can ascribe to being like our Thanksgiving. Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation? And what happened in the Old Testament that is like that? And we're going to look at that and draw some conclusions. We're going to do two things. We're going to go through Psalms really quick and draw some conclusions from that. And then we're going to go back and look at a particular time in the Old Testament when they stopped and gave thanks for 3 days. And it sort of is akin to what we do and why we do it. So if you want to open up your Bibles, it's in the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at several of them. We're going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15, 20, 25. No, I'm not going to go that far. There's a lot in Psalms about Thanksgiving, but I've sort of tried to pick some out. And we're just going to go through them, read them real quick, and draw some conclusions from each one just so we can get a feel for the Psalms, because this is where our Thanksgiving should live. This idea of being thankful to God should live in the heart, should live in the heart of faith, in the heart of love. It is a response to what God has done for us. Okay? Giving thanks is a chosen response to God for his involvement in our lives, whatever is happening in our lives. And Psalms, David and the psalm writers really sort of incorporated that, and you really see it from the heart. In Psalm 7, verse 17, it says, Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. David writes and he says, I'm going to give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I put that one first for a reason. Because David, in the midst of everything else, realized that the basic reason we need to be thankful to God is because he's God. He is righteous and holy He is all of those attributes of God that we studied. He is God. He's the creator and the redeemer and our savior. He is our shield and our fortress and all of those things because of who he is. So many times we say thank you, and it's sort of like going to a Hallmark store. And, you know, you go to a Hallmark store, try to find, you know, a birthday card or an anniversary card that isn't selfish. You'll have a hard time. And you think, well, how can they be selfish? Because they all go like this. They all are based on the premise is, I love you because, and then it'll be for something you do for me, how you make me feel, how you make me this, or how you do this for me, or whatever. And it's all very selfish. I love you because of what you do for me. See, it's hard to find a card that says I love you because you are magnificent, because of who you are. Well, that's the way it should be, but you're not going to find those cards. You're going to find the cards, I love you because of what you do for me. And while that is part of our thanksgiving with God, let's start off with God. We want to say thank you because you're God. You're righteous and holy, and yet you're approachable and forgiving and full of grace and mercy and justice and truth because you're God. That's where David starts. That's always a good place to start. Be thankful to God because he's God. She agrees. That's baby talk for amen. Hallelujah. See, you can listen to that. In Psalm 28, it gets a little more personal as David goes through hard times. And now he gets to where it's really coming out of his heart and his experience, because it's about God, but it's also out of our heart and our experience. In chapter 28, verse 7 in Psalms, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. See, David comes out of some difficult times, and he realizes that God is his help and his shield, and God is doing this for him, and it just causes joy. He says, my heart will leap for joy, and I will give song. I will give thanks to him. His protection, for trust, for faith, is an expression of faith. That's what I love about that one. It's an expression of his faith. You are my shield. How many of us look at God that way? How many of us look to God and say, you're my shield and you're my strength and I trust you? Most of the time we're going, God, I'm in trouble. Help! You know.
Or if you want to talk vocal things, and if you really want people to listen and it's important, you're supposed to say it deeply. God, I'm, you know.
But, you know, that's when we're panicked. We're up here. And so many times when we're giving thanks, that's how we get. We get excited and our voices get high and it's sort of panicked. I want us to understand. We give thanks to God because of who he is and because of his protection, and it's an expression of our faith for him working in our lives. That's what David was recognizing. Not only God is God, thank you God. You're holy, righteous God, creator of the, you know, and maker of the heavens and the earth, and yet you're involved in my life. See where David goes with that? You're personal and intimate. My shield. In Psalm 30, verses 11, 12, he says, you turned, talking to God, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with your joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, and I will give thanks forever. He recognized that as he went through difficult times, even to the point of grief and sackcloth and ashes and repentance and all of those things, that God turned his wailing into dancing. And he recognized that as he went through those times in his life, there were ups and downs and all of that, that God was at work. And then when he came through it, he looked back on it and said, God, you carried me through. How many of us do that? How many of us, oh man, finally, I'm so glad I got through that. You know? David would look at the change in his life and how God would turn things around, and he recognized God for it. And he says, I give thanks for that. He was very thankful, very full of praise. But it wasn't just, and that's very private, see. Those two things were very private things. You turned my wailing into dancing. You turned, you know, my heart and filled it with joy. But it's not just private. In Psalm 35:18, he says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly, among the throngs of people, I will praise you. Our thanksgiving for God needs to be extremely personal.
Okay? It needs to be, it comes out of our hearts. It comes out of our lives. It comes out of accepting God's grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It comes out of understanding He's at work in our life. It comes out of understanding that we have the Holy Spirit and He's empowered us to live powerful lives and be warriors for Him and all of those things. And He carries us through those difficulties. It is extremely personal. But it can never be extremely private. How many people say, well, I have a relationship with God, and it's sort of a private thing between him, me and God. And you know, every time I say that, I hear somebody say that, I say, well, I thought you were a Christian. You know, you can just imagine what kind of reaction that got. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, how can you say it's private? It's personal, yes, but it's not private. It's never supposed to be private. This is a public thing. You were to be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost ends of the earth. Our thanksgiving is very personal and very intimate. And yet it's supposed to be very public. We're supposed to be very open about it so that we have witness. It becomes the witness, becomes the foundation of our witness. In Psalm 75, verse 1, it says, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks for your name is near, men tell of your wonderful deeds. Part of our witness. You wonder, somebody says, I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to share my faith. I don't know how to tell people about Jesus. Well, did God ever do anything for you? Yeah. God ever answer a prayer? Yeah. Really? Tell me about it. And they'll say, well, my aunt was sick and I prayed and she got better. I says, there's your witness. Tell people what God did for you. Why are you thankful to God? What are you thankful to God for? Well, I'm thankful that He saved me and forgave me of my sin. There's your witness. See? David is saying, your name is you're near to me, and I need to make that name known. Same thing in Psalm 105, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. That your witness and your testimony is about thanksgiving. You ever think about it that way? That's different, isn't it? Most of the time, we talk about witnessing and thanksgiving. Witnessing, it's sort of separate from thanksgiving. We'll get a hold of some tracts, some four spiritual law tracts, or we'll, get a. I've had several places where I've had to go when I was doing my internship. I was doing my internship at the First Christian Church in Bell, and they had a big soul winning program. So I come to do my internship. I'm only going to be there for like 6 or 8 weeks interning under the pastor. The very first thing I had to do was memorize this witnessing program, literally memorize it so I could quote it. And every Thursday night, they went out to anybody they had a name for, and every Thursday night they would go out and somebody in every single place they went would go through this evangelism program, which had a good effect that people came to the Lord. The negative effect was, there were people who literally moved out of our town so that the people of First Christian Church would stop coming to their house every Thursday night and parroting the same stuff. Literally moved. It was the only way they could get them to stop. They weren't going to come to the Lord. They weren't going to accept the Lord. But people were there every week, every week, every week, every week, every week. Does that sound right? So you want to share your faith with people. Start with an attitude of gratitude. What are you thankful for? What has God done in your life that you're thankful for? You want to tell people about Jesus? There it is. What has Jesus done for you? That's where you start. That's where it goes. That's how we make His name known among men. We tell of His wonderful deeds. What has God done for you? What prayers has He answered? What has He done? See, that's the starting place. Then all of that has a foundation, and I've got a Psalm 106.1, 107.1, 107.8, 118.1, 136.1, a series of psalms that all say the same thing. And I'm going to read 136.1 because it sums it all up. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. In 118.1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love remains forever. God's love is forever. Now, in the New Testament, we talk about love. There's all these Greek words for love. There's eros, the sexual love between a man and a woman. And there's filial, the brotherly love. And there's one for family love. And then we talk about agape, God's love. And we use, you know, we you know, have little necklaces that say agape on it. You know, God's love. God's love for us. That wasn't selfish. It's what he did for us without us doing anything. You know, and how we're supposed to agape each other, love each other that way. Well, in the Old Testament, they were speaking Hebrew. So they didn't use the word agape, which is a Greek word. They had another word for God's everlasting love, unchanging love, undeserved love. It was a Hebrew word. And it's translated all kinds of ways. And I can never say it right because I'm never really good with guttural languages, but it's hasid. Literally says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He has hasid. And it just means his enduring love, his unending love. Do you ever thank anybody for loving you? You know? That's an important thing to do. That's an important thing to do. There's two things that should be overused in your house. Two things that should be overused in your house that you should overuse. Overuse, I love you. And overuse, thank you for loving me. And see, part of our thankfulness is about God loving us. And we need to be thankful for that love. One more out of Psalms. Because it changes direction. Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. You know why that's different? Because he's thanking God for something God is going to do. He's not thanking God for something God has already done. He's thanking God for something God is going to do. You want to talk about the heart of Thanksgiving? There's the heart of Thanksgiving. Because we all go through tough times, you know. And we all go through difficult times. And part of this idea, if we want to have the heart of Thanksgiving that comes out of this really personal stuff in Psalms, it's having that idea of what God is going to do in your life. I mean, almost all of us have somebody in our life we're worried about, right? Have somebody you're worried about? Somebody you're concerned about? You know, maybe they're sick. You know, maybe they're ill and they have some problem they're fighting, or maybe they're having relationship and marital problems, or maybe they're having financial problems, and you know, maybe it's a kid that's rebelling, or there's going to be all kinds of things. And we have people that we're worried about. You want to pray for them powerfully? Begin to thank God right now for what God is going to do in their life. For the person that will talk to them, that will lead them to the Lord. Be thankful for the healing that is going to come for them. Thankful, be thankful for what is going to happen. Be thankful in advance. Now you're talking true Thanksgiving, because it hasn't even happened. Now you're talking Thanksgiving of faith. See? So take those Psalms and read through the book of Psalms and you know, take a highlighter and highlight Thanksgiving. Highlight where it says, I will give thanks. Or tells us to give thanks. Or it says, we will give thanks. And pick up how personal and intimate that is. See, there's the heart and soul of the Old Testament. The Psalms are called the eye of the soul, because everything else in the Old Testament is either the law or history, telling the story. Only in the book of Psalms do you see into the soul of David and into the soul of the psalm writers. It's very intimate and very personal. It is the heart of worship. And the heart, part of the heart of worship is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for who he is. Thanksgiving to God for what he's done. Thanksgiving to God for his love. Thanksgiving to God for what he's going to do. Now, having said that, a week from this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. How much of that we've just talked about is going to take place around your Thanksgiving table? Whether you're the only one at the table or you've got a house full of people. See, that's the issue. Let Thanksgiving come from the heart. Even in the Old Testament, even in David's heart, thankful for who God is, thankful for what he's done, thankful for what he's going to do, based upon the fact that we're thankful to him because he is good and his love is forever. That God thinks of you and he loves you and has a good plan for you. His goodness in you has his heart for you. So we can't even imagine or think of what God has planned for us. We need to understand that. Most of us think that God looks at us
even after we're in Christ and been forgiven, most of us think that God looks at us and goes, you know, I love you, but, you know, there's just something about you that ticks me off. You know, because we remember our sin, but God doesn't. And see, we want to make sure we understand that's how God sees us. It was the heart of love, and we need to be grateful for that. Now, with that idea, what happened in the Old Testament that would be the most closely associated with what we do for Thanksgiving? There's maybe a couple of things that we could see, but I'm going to go all the way back to the very beginning. All the way back into Exodus. Because we go through the story of Exodus, and God sends Noah, or not Noah, that was a little earlier, sends Moses back to Israel to lead his people and deliver his people. And you go through that whole story. You know, God shows, you know, Moses, Noah, Moses, God, one of these guys. I'll get it straight. Moses shows up before Pharaoh. Let my people go. God, if you don't, you know, there's going to be consequences. We go through the 10 plagues, and they're awful, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, Pharaoh says, you know, after he loses his son, says, get out of here, go. You know, loose translation. And you know, the people of Israel, the Egyptians give them all of their gold, all of the stuff that they have left, and they give them to them, and they head out. And they get as far as the Red Sea, and by that time, Pharaoh's had a change of heart. And while he wanted them to get rid of them, now, you know, they've all lost their firstborn and the people are angry and they've lost all their goods they've given them. And they want revenge. And, you know, Pharaoh sets out with his army to bring them back as slaves or to kill them one way or the other. And the people of Israel are trapped. You know, and then you know the story, Moses and they're parting the Red Sea and they go through the Red Sea. And then when Pharaoh and his army go to follow them, the waters collapse and drown them. Did you know that in Exodus 15, they stopped and had a three-day celebration of Thanksgiving? I think that's as close to what we have as an American Thanksgiving as anything in the Old Testament. I think that's the closest. They stopped for 3 days. Now, I want to make three observations about this. I'm going to just do three things about this that we're going to look at today. The first observation is that their Thanksgiving was God-centered. We want to make sure we get that. In our secular society, we leave God out. And we're going to talk about that. The second thing is, the pagans, in that celebration, they recognize that the pagans, when they talk about Thanksgiving and everything, it's all centered around themselves. They just talk about themselves. And the third thing we're going to see is that we get to have an attitude of gratitude and be thankful to God, but we need to be sure we're saying thank you to the right God. Those three things. So that's what we're going to look at. We want to be able to see that and understand it. Now, the first thing is, when they celebrated, it was God-centered. Listen to the first 8 verses of Exodus 15. Moses is leading them in this Thanksgiving celebration for 3 days. This is how he starts. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is the warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army have been hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They have sank to the depth like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. Notice how God-centered that is? That is so powerful. It's not man-centered like today. And it's because the Jews were at that point and strived to be a God-centered people. Now, that doesn't mean, if you know the history of the Jews as we've gone through the Old Testament, they always stayed God-centered. They strayed and had problems. But at this point, after everything that God was done for those 3 days, they celebrated thanksgiving to God for what he was done. It was very God-centered, or as the theologians would say, theocentric. The song that we just read is about the Lord. Literally wrote a psalm about the Lord and what God had done. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Is that the way you talk? Is that the way I talk? Do we say those words? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. He has become my salvation. It should be. It should be God-centered. God is our strength. God is our song. God is our salvation. You know, now their salvation was very specific, just being rescued from Egypt. We get that. But you and I are now in Jesus Christ. We have come to God through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. He has forgiven us. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And we live empowered lives now through His Holy Spirit. And we are thankful because He is our true salvation. He hasn't just rescued us from a situation. He has rescued us from a life of condemnation into a life that is the promise of heaven. Surely our language and our words should be full of God-centeredness. I would say for most of us, that's probably not true. Most of us have a tendency to be not really talking about God. Remember a few years ago, I was thinking about this morning. Remember a few years ago, you know, there's been a number of incidents on cruise ships. You know, now, I want to say that 99.9% of all cruise ships leave the dock. Everybody goes, has a good time, and they come back, you know, basically drunk and happy, if you can be those two things at the same time. Get that. But we've seen these stories, you know, of the Concordia that, you know, the guy ran into the ground and it rolled over. You know, but remember there was one off the coast. It was down in the Caribbean, and the engines broke. They had a fire in the engine room, and it just sort of, you know, was dead in the water. And so they couldn't pump fresh water. They ran out of food. And the people were having to eat, like, Spam. You know, if you like Spam, that's not a bad thing, I guess. But, you know, and it was pretty miserable until they finally sort of got towed into dock, and then they all got off, and, you know, they were all so grateful for the Coast Guard and everything that happened. But you know what I remember about that? Not too many of them were thankful to God for being rescued. See, that's, you know, we get egocentric. The typical modern person is thanking the emergency services or the Coast Guard or some human agencies. But who's thanking Almighty God for what He's doing? Remember we talked about our first Thanksgiving? And the fact that the Puritans, you know, had made friends with the Indians, the Indian tribe, the Indian chief, and they had helped each other. And when the Puritans decided to have this day to thank God, they invited their Indian friends to come in to thank God for them. In spite of what, you know, Americans are being taught today, that it's all about thanking the Indians for the help. It wasn't about that. They were thanking God. And you go through the writings and the prayers of George Washington, and even Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson, and they thanked the God of Providence for what God has done in this country. It was about God. It was God-centered. See, we get the Thanksgiving. You know, our lives need to be God-centered. Our language needs to be God-centered. You know, and largely, the power of the church in the American culture is largely diminished. Largely diminished. We have lost the power to change our culture. We're allowing the culture to change us. And one of the reasons that it has lost its power is because we stopped our language from being God-centered. Even when we talk about God, we talk about us. You know, I've talked about going over the bookstore, looking at all the books and all the titles, and it's all about how you get more stuff from God. Not how you serve, not how you sacrifice, not how you give, but how you get. The church has lost its power because it's made it about us and not about God. So if we want to have the Thanksgiving the way they did, this celebration, how about this coming Thanksgiving, make your Thanksgiving God-centered? Now, they didn't stop there when they were writing that, because then they went on, because they talked about how unbelievers were typically focused on themselves. And it's even written into it. I'm going to read from verses 9 and 10. In this, after talking about what God has done and praising Him, in verse 9 and 10 in Exodus 15, he says, "The enemy boasted, I will chase them, and I will catch up with them, and I will plunder them and consume them, and I will flash my sword, my powerful hand will destroy them."
You notice how many I's there were in there?
I will do this.
He says in verse 10, but you blew them with your breath, and the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. I like that idea. He says they sank like lead. They were full of themselves and sank like lead. There's a life lesson right there. They were full of themselves and sank like lead. The enemy boasted. And that's the way it is, you know. When things are going well, we have a tendency to think, oh, I did good, you know. Oh, you did good. You did really well. Instead of thanking God. And we need to make sure we do that. God had just given the Egyptians a shellacking for sure. And the Jews lifted up God. But the Egyptians, they were just full of themselves. I'm going to get them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. See, the idea is, if you're a believer, we're supposed to be full of God. One of the marks of not being a believer is being full of ourselves. See, it's that simple. And if we want to be Christians giving thanks to God, we need to be full of God and be centered around Him. See, that's the idea. And the third idea is we need to be sure that we're thinking the right God. You know, look at verses 11 and down through 18. He says, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders. You raised your right hand and the earth swallowed our enemies. With your unfailing love you led your people you have redeemed. In your might you guide them to your sacred home. The peoples hear and tremble. Anguish grips those who fear, who live in Philistia. The leaders of Edom are terrified, and the nobles of Moab tremble. All who live in Canaan melt away in terror and dread as it falls upon them. The power of your arm makes them lifeless as stone until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you've purchased pass by. You will bring them in and plant them in your own mountain. See, the idea is we need to be grateful, and we need to be God-centered, but we do need to make sure that it's the right God. All of the peoples that they were conquering, the Egyptians had many gods. In fact, every one of the plagues that God poured out upon the Egyptians was related to one of their pagan deities. We talked about that. We went through all of that. Every one of the plagues was related to one of their pagan, one of the things they worshipped. It was like what they worshipped had turned on them. See, the pagans of those days, you know, they weren't atheistic. It wasn't that they didn't believe anything. They all believed in something. You know, and a lot of people today, there's a lot of that going on in the world today. There are a lot of people are extremely devout. And people in cult groups are extremely devout. Their devotion puts us to shame. We even look at those who have declared themselves the enemy of our country. You know, we look at Muslims around the world and just the devotion of going to the mosque and taking your shoes off and, you know, bowing down several times a day and towards Mecca and praying. How many of us do anything like that? Their devotion is astounding. But if you're worshiping the wrong God, your devotion is pretty meaningless. If you're worshiping the wrong God, that devotion leads you to the wrong direction. I mean, I like our devotion to the Lord because what does the Lord tell us to do? To love one another, to love our enemies, to love our families, to love our spouses, to love our children, to love each other, to love our neighbors. There's no one left. Wouldn't you hate to have a devotion that being devoted to God means your life is full of hate and you get up and think you can kill people and that's a good thing? So let's make sure we're worshiping the right God here. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world. And we need to be sure that we're worshiping the only true God. God that revealed Himself right here. The only God who revealed Himself in a person through Jesus Christ as His Son. The only God who sacrificed that Son for our sin. In every other major religion in the world, their whole religious practice is overcoming their sin and trying to find a way to make themselves acceptable to some God who holds all of their sins against them. And they'll do horrific things to themselves and to others in order to gain some kind of acceptance from God. But the only true God, the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, is the God who loved us so much that He sent His only Son
that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life, that he sent his only son to die on the cross to take our sins. We don't have to do anything for God not to hold our sins against us except come to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has paid the price. We want to be thankful. We want to have a thankfulness that comes from the heart like it did in the book of Psalms. We want to have a thankfulness the way the Hebrews were thankful after God rescued them from the Egyptians. We want to have a thankfulness that flows and is full of our language, and our language becomes God-centered. That's full of God and not full of us. But let's make sure we're worshiping the right God. Because our current philosophy in the country is basically all roads lead to Rome. As long as you believe something, you know, as long as you believe something, boy, that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. It's not that you believe something. Everybody believes something. Even if they believe nothing. Yeah, that came out right. You know? Even if they believe that they don't believe in anything, they believe in something, because what they believe in is that they don't believe. Everybody believes in something. Let's be sure that what we're believing in is the God of the Bible, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Savior, the Warrior, the Shield, the Strength, the Almighty God. If we're centered around Him, if we're God-centered, then we can give Him thanks like they did in the book of Psalms. Thankful for who He is, thankful for what He's done, thankful for His everlasting love, and thankful even for what He hasn't even done yet. Because His promises are true, His word is certain, and it's anchored in His character, and it's anchored in the cross. This Thanksgiving, let your life and your words be God-centered. God has given you a voice. He's given you an instrument in your voice to be played, and to be played for Him. And we need to play it. I like it when, you know, Jennifer was back today. She's playing when she started strumming the guitar. It's like, you know, Diane did such an awesome job leading in our worship when she was up here by herself. But when you start adding an instrument, when Sherry is here playing that 12-string guitar, when George is over here playing the drums, it just fills it, doesn't it? It just fills it with playing their instrument for the Lord. When we have Tony come up and play his trumpet, man, it just fills the place with praise. God has given you an instrument to use. And that instrument is your voice. And He's given you that instrument to use to fill His house, to fill your house, and to fill this world with praise and thanksgiving for who He is, what He's done, for His everlasting love, and for what He hasn't even done yet, but what He's promised. And that is the promise of heaven in Jesus Christ. Today, you choose. You can't command this stuff. God can't tell you to do this. I can't tell you to do this. It's your choice. You get to choose. That's the great thing, the great freedom that God gives us. He allows us to choose to have faith. He allows us to choose to be obedient. He allows us to choose to have a heart full of gratitude. It is our choice. And even that verse in the New Testament we're going to talk about next week out of Thessalonians, it says, you know, give thanks to God, for this is God's will for your life. God does have a will for your life. It has to do with your heart and having a heart of gratitude. This is how we fulfill who we are in Jesus. So today, you're going to go through your day. And it's not that you change what you're going to do today. You change how and why you do what you do today. You do all things. I like that passage that Wayne read where it says, in everything you do, in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord. That's a grateful heart. That's all that stuff in Psalms we read, right there in the New Testament, right in that verse. Your choice. Choose to be God-centered. Choose to be full of Him instead of self. Choose to be worshiping the right God, the God of the Bible, the God of Jesus. Choose to let it be intimate and personal and yet never private. Let it be part of your witness. of who you are in Christ and who Christ is as God in the flesh and who his Father is. That's the foundation of Thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for who you are. You know, like David wrote in the Psalms, and we thank you because you are righteous and holy and all of those things, all of those names of God that we have listed out in the Old Testament and New, describing you and describing your Son. Father, thank you. Thank you that Jesus is the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sin of the world, and yet he is the Lion of Judah. Thank you for being who you are and for loving us. The reflection of what you did for the Egyptians we find in what you did for all of us through Jesus Christ on the cross, when he took our sin upon himself, paid our price that we might have life in you. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done, for who you are, for your love that causes all of this to come together. And thank you even for the things you're going to do in the days ahead in our lives. Bless us to that spirit of thanksgiving today. In Jesus' name.